And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Reformation Day. Reformation Day, praise the Lord. October 31st, every year, unfortunately, here in the United States, most people are celebrating Halloween, which is by no means the favored Christian holiday. It's not a Christian holiday at all. It's a pagan holiday that has nothing to do with Christianity. And, you know, it's been a point of controversy. I mean, you've got all of this information out there where churches for years now have been doing the trunk or treat option, where they have at the church, people pull in with their cars and then they open their trunks and the kids go around everybody's car and then they hand out candy from the trunk of the car. This is the alternative. And I suppose that's not a horrible alternative, but I have to admit, and I've talked about this on and off for several years now, I greatly prefer what they are doing at the Providence Classical Christian School in Bothell, Washington, where they actually celebrate Reformation Day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go look this up at www.pccs.org, School Life Reformation Day. They say, quote, "If you walk into Providence's building at the end of October expecting to see students sporting their usual Providence blue and green, you may be surprised. Instead of trim uniforms and dressy shoes, you discover colorful costumes and props everywhere you look. Flowing skirts, archery bows, armor cloaks, a whole parade of creativity." Then it goes on, and it says, "In all their diversity and creativity, the costumes all seem to reflect one particular era, Europe, around the year 1500. In fact, without realizing it, you have joined Providence just in time for our celebration of a particularly important moment in church history, Reformation Day." And then they show pictures of the kids there. And these look like young kids, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, right around there. But they're all dressed up like Reformation era characters. They are remembering the history of Reformation Day. And I have to tell you, just based on the pictures, knowing nothing else about what they're doing there at the school, although it does seem that they are teaching a classical Christian education, which I think is fantastic. I wish our country could return to that standard, that we put the Bible back in the schools, that we put prayer back in the schools, at least morning prayer, and we set the minds of our children back on focus as a nation, rather than allowing these Marxists to get in there and brainwash everybody with all of this paganism and their social justice, socialism indoctrination that is just ruinous for the mental health, quite frankly, of our young people. Our young people are becoming more and more deranged, especially by the time they graduate high school and get into college. It's a nightmare. As a Christian parent, you definitely have your work cut out for you. We definitely have to remind our children continually of the way of the Lord, which we should be doing anyway. We should be doing anyway, definitely. But I stumbled upon this. There's also another school that I found, Clear Lake Classical, which is in Iowa. Clear Lake Classical, which is in Iowa. And they also celebrate Reformation Day, and they've got pictures of the same, although not as many photos. So it's hard to see entirely what they're doing, but they seem to be following the same theme. Now, I don't know. I haven't done enough research into either of these schools to know if they even pay any attention at all to Halloween, but certainly the acknowledgement of Reformation Day as an alternative is, I think, so important to us here in America. It's really important to the entire Western world. And many, I would even argue the entire rest of the world should know about the history of the Great Reformation. And it's not just about Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. Unfortunately, many people see it that way because our education system has removed the real history, the full history of the Reformation. Certainly, Luther was a main character in that whole history. There's no question. Luther, later on, Calvin. But there are so many other figures who did so many different things and had so many different teachings. It was an entire movement. And I would say to anybody, if you have the opportunity to go to Geneva, Switzerland at some point, I had the opportunity. There were a number of us with the Dullam Films. We went over to Europe, as I've told you before, doing some filming for our upcoming documentary, The True Christian History of America, where we're going to talk more about the influence of the Reformation into the New World. But we went to Geneva. We went to the International Museum of the Reformation, which I highly recommend if you're in that city at some point. If you have the opportunity to go, be sure you go to the Reformers' Wall, the Reformation Wall, which is actually called the International Monument to the Reformation, which is great to see because it was built about 1907 before they started rewriting the history books. So the understanding on the monument is that the Reformation, beginning with Wycliffe and Huss and then Luther and then others, a number of other figures that you're not going to be as familiar with, people like Admiral Coligny, the leader of the Huguenots and others, that the Reformation ultimately brings you to the Pilgrims landing in America. And they have the Mayflower Compact there. And they're showing how the Mayflower Compact and the fact that the Pilgrims landed there for the express purpose of the advancement of the Christian faith, the advancement of the preaching of the gospel. Why? Because the Lord says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, it used to be that this was well known in our country, brothers and sisters. Here is a speech. I'm going to read part of this speech from Samuel Adams, who was a Christian man. And I believe he had a Reformed Christian worldview based on my study of Sam Adams. And this was a speech that Adams gave right before he signed the Declaration of Independence. Here's what he said. And I'm not going to be able to read the whole speech. I'm just going to read a portion of it. But it's one that shows the importance of the Reformation into the development and founding of America. So Adams said this. He said, quote, "Our forefathers threw off the yoke of popery in religion. For you is reserved the honor of leveling the popery of politics." He goes on, he says, "This day, I trust, the reign of political Protestantism will commence. We have explored the temple of royalty and found that the idol we have bowed down to has eyes which see not, ears that hear not our prayers, and a heart like the nether millstone. We have this day restored the sovereign, to whom alone men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and with a propitious eye beholds his subjects, assuming that freedom of thought and dignity of self-direction which he bestowed on them. From the rising to the setting sun, may his kingdom come." Praise the Lord. So that is just part of a speech. The speech itself, if you look it up, is significantly longer than all of that. But those are portions of the speech given by Samuel Adams after the Declaration of Independence had been agreed to. And they had finalized the wording, and now they were getting ready to all sign this famous, soon-to-be-famous document. And Adams understood that the principles involved, the idea of the laws of nature and of nature's God, that phrase is based on Psalm chapter 19 and Romans chapters 1 and 2. The idea that God gave two great witnesses, the witness of the creation and then the witness of the Word of God, divine revelation. You have to read Blackstone and others to understand their view of that, but this was a Christian teaching that went back centuries before the American Revolution. But anyway, none of the acknowledgement of that, the components of it, none of that would have been possible without the Great Reformation and the recovery of the Bible. And what's incredible to me, this is my impression now, when I was in Geneva and was going through the International Museum to the Reformation and so on, and I had a chance to interact with people there, the general impression, what they generally understand about the Reformation, is that the Reformation gave the common people the right to read the Bible in their own language. That's the main thing. And I've talked before on this show about the woman that I met there. I met an older woman there who, just in passing through the museum, had said bonjour to me, because that's what they say. They speak French. So she said bonjour, and I said, oh, hello. And she said, hello. And I said, yes, I'm an American. And then we started talking. And then she was talking about the Reformers, and she spoke very favorably of them. And I said to her, I said, so are you a Protestant then? And she said, oh, no, I'm Catholic. She said, but I think very much like a Protestant. And I said, really? I was kind of surprised. I'd never heard anybody make those exact comments. And she said, yes, because I believe I should have the right to read the Bible for myself and pray to God and understand the scriptures according to my own conscience. That's basically what she said in a nutshell. And I was really kind of fascinated by that testimony. I don't think I've ever met anybody who said quite that. But she said, if I'd been alive during the Reform era, I would have been a Protestant back then, I can tell you. That's what she said. And so we talked for another minute, and then she had to go. But it was very interesting that in that part of the world, people understand the Reformation in a very simple way. Do you have the right to worship God according to your own conscience? You have the right to read God's word so that your salvation, the condition of your soul, the exercise of your conscience is ultimately, of course, Paul says we can have 10,000 teachers in Christ, but ultimately, every man's soul stands before the Lord. God says, all souls are mine. Paul says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So yes, we can admonish each other, we can teach each other, but what we should be doing overwhelmingly is pointing one another to the Word of God, to the Holy Scripture. And we're going to go to our commercial break here in a moment, and when we come back, we are going to talk about one of the lesser well-known figures. He's a well-known figure, but he's not as well-known, let's say, as Luther, Calvin, and others. But Ulrich Zwingli, who was the great Swiss reformer. We're going to talk about Zwingli and some of what he taught and believed on these issues when we come back from the break right after this.
Battling spies, assassins, and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family, because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now, Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, for 14 days for one person. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are talking about the Great Reformation and Reformation Day. I wanted to play here just a short portion of this song. It's called Reformation Song, and you can find it on YouTube, posted by the Grace Emmanuel Bible Church. Reformation Song. And part of the lyrics are, "Through faith alone we come to you. We have no merit we can claim. Sure that your promises are true, we place our hope in Jesus' name." Here, let's listen to the chorus. All right, so you can hear what a beautiful song that is, and it looks like a great congregation there at the Grace Emmanuel Bible Church. I'm not sure where that is, but you can find them online. You can certainly find them in this song on YouTube. I thought it was great. I found it online. I have to tell you, I know nothing about the church beyond this song, but I thought it was great that somebody put together a Reformation song. I also think it's great that we have schools now, Christian schools, that are celebrating Reformation Day. I would love to see our country phase out Halloween and replace it with a much more worthy holiday, and one that I think would unite the Christian community. If it was presented the right way, I think it could unite the Christian community. Right now, I think trunk or treat and the harvest festival things that they're doing, I'm just not sure that's really a significant alternative. And what we're losing as a culture and as a country and as the church, what we're losing in terms of the knowledge of the Reformation and all of the blessings that God has poured out upon not only Christian people, but the people of the world as a result of the Great Reformation. Because the Reformation was a back-to-the-Bible movement. It was sola scriptura, I believe, is probably the most important principle that was recovered. Because sola scriptura, the scriptures alone, that takes a person to everything else. That takes a person to salvation, to understanding the importance of the glory of God alone, faith alone, grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and to the glory of God alone. All the rest of it follows once the Holy Scriptures are plainly laid before the eyes of the people. Kind of partly quoting William Tyndale there, but that was Tyndale's hope. That was his ambition. That was the ambition of Desiderius Erasmus and many others. Another Reformation incident, I'm going to go back 2 years to October 31st, 2017, at the 500-year anniversary. The great Christian leader, Reformed Christian leader, Viktor Orban. Viktor Orban gave a speech commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. He celebrated the Reformation. He celebrated Christianity. He is a Christian man. Right now, Viktor Orban is one of the politicians over in Europe that is trying to resist the globalist attempt to flood Western Europe with all of these Muslims and foreigners and really systematically undermine and overthrow Christian civilization. He recognizes it. And in Hungary, they are putting up a fight against it. Hungary and Poland in particular are two countries that are really resisting this. Here, this is the subtitle for the article on this. It says, quote, speaking at a celebratory event marking the 500th anniversary of the start of Reformation on Tuesday, the Hungarian Prime Minister said that it is no accident, but an expression of God's mercy that Hungary currently has a Christian government which promotes faith. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Orban, whenever you see him in the news, remember, he's not just a professing Christian, but he is a Reformed Christian. In fact, he even says in his speech, he says, quote, the leaders of our church asked me to address you today. No doubt they asked me because they felt it to be right that at the final gathering of this 500th anniversary, I should speak on behalf of the Hungarian government, both as prime minister and a member of the Reformed Church. Now, keep that in mind as you consider this Newsweek headline, because Trump met earlier this month with Prime Minister Orban at the White House, and Newsweek had a headline. They said, quote, White House officials tried blocking Trump from meeting Hungary's far-right prime minister because they feared pair would get along too well. In other words, they feared the pair of them, that's what they're saying. They feared that they would get along too well. And of course, they are calling Orban a far-right prime minister. Why? Because he is a traditional Christian man who actually believes in protecting Christian civilization and does not believe that all of these Muslims should be brought into Western Europe and these Christian countries handed over to Islam one step at a time. And oh my goodness, what an extremist position for him to have to try and put a stop to that, which he is most certainly doing. Orban is known for this. All right, well, before we went to the break, I mentioned one of the great Reformation figures who was Ulrich Zwingli. Ulrich Zwingli out of Switzerland. I remember studying so many of these reformers years ago. I'd actually written a dramatic production for a church that I was attending in California many years ago. And Zwingli was one of the characters that we chose to represent. But Zwingli, he was responsible for the Swiss Reform. And of course, like the other reformers, he called for a return to the Bible, the Bible as the foundation of the Christian faith. Zwingli published his 67 thesis. Instead of a 95 thesis, he had a 67 thesis that was published in the year 1523. And some of the more significant declarations that he made was one, that Christ is the only way to salvation for all who ever were, are, and shall be. Also, he said, quote, Christ is the only mediator between God and ourselves. And of course, this was very, very important at that point in history because you had the papacy, the popes, were drawing everybody to the priests, to the sacraments of the Church of Rome, and arguing that if you didn't go through these sacraments, and if it wasn't an ordained priest of Rome that administered them to you, then you could not be saved. They made it a salvation issue in violation of what the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 1. Zwingli also said that if ministers are unfaithful and transgress the laws of Christ, they may be deposed in accordance with God's will. That was something else. You had the priesthood, the Catholic priesthood, where the priests were often corrupt, and yet there was virtually no accountability. We're seeing that today. How many of these predator priests of Rome are just shuffled about from one parish to another, and there's no consequence for them, or very little consequence? Zwingli also taught that, quote, whoever remits any sin only for the sake of money is the companion of Simon Magus and Balaam and a real messenger of the devil. So he condemned simony, the idea of really the same thing Luther had argued, the same thing that even John Wycliffe had argued back even before Luther, against indulgences, the idea of getting money to forgive somebody's sins, to atone for somebody's sins? No. Christ paid for our sins on the cross when he cried out, it is finished, literally. He cried out, it is tetelestai, it is paid in full. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, we are out of time for today. That's going to do it for us. That's our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.